Did the Bible really come from God? By Billy Crone. Chapter 1, The Bible Says So. I hope this doesn't come as a surprise to you, but how many of you know that even Christians make mistakes once in a while? Aha! It really does happen. And for those of you who don't believe me, I've got some proof. That's right. We're going to look at some actual church bulletin bloopers and you tell me if we Christians aren't human once in a while. These were printed right here in America.
The ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind. They may be seen in the basement on Friday afternoon. Attend this week's conference, and you will hear an excellent speaker, and have a healthy lunch. The church will host an evening of fine dining, superb entertainment, and gracious hostility. Low Self-Esteem Support Group will meet Thursday at 7 to 8:30 p.m. Please use the back door. For the pancake breakfast next Saturday, the pastor would appreciate it if the ladies of the congregation would lend him their electric girdles. The associate minister unveiled the church's new stewardship campaign slogan last Sunday, "I upped my pledge up yours." Next Sunday, Mrs. Vinson will be soloist for the morning service. The pastor will then speak on "It's a Terrible Experience." Barbara remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She is also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Jack's sermons. This Christmas season, smile at someone who is hard to love and say hell to those who don't care much about you. Our concluding song on Christmas Day is "Angels We Have Heard Get High."
Now, as you can see, even we Christians unfortunately make mistakes, don't we? But I hope there's one mistake as a Christian that we never make, and that is this: to doubt that the Bible really did come from God. I say it again, to doubt that the Bible really came from God. And I say that because many people in our world today are in a frantic search for truth. It doesn't matter anymore because it is spilling out all over the place because of world events. Christian, non-Christian, it doesn't matter, everybody recognizes that something is horribly wrong with our world and it's getting worse. It doesn't matter what we say, what we do, how we vote, our world continues to spiral down out of control. And so, many people, not just Christians, are seeking answers to questions of life like, can we have true and lasting peace in this world? Why is there so much evil and suffering? Why has all this shooting been going on? Where did all this evil come from? And is there any hope? And the irony is, all this searching for answers is actually a good thing because it's starting to wake people up to start focusing on eternal things, which is good. But the problem is, they are looking in all the wrong places for the answers to these questions. They're actually hoping that somebody somewhere will dig up some ancient text that will unlock all the secrets to life. Or they're actually hoping that somehow, someway, a supposed alien with a higher intelligence will land on planet Earth and solve all of our problems. Or as the X-Files puts it, the truth is out there, right? That's what people believe. But what if I were to tell you that the X-Files is right? Yeah, the truth is out there, it's right under our noses. It's called the Bible. But the problem is nobody will pick it up. It's actually collecting dust in virtually every home in America. Among households which own a Bible, the typical count is 3 Bibles per household. Almost every household in America, 92%, owns at least one copy of the Christian Bible. This includes most homes in which the adults are not practicing Christians, as well as the homes of hundreds of thousands of atheists. Even they have a copy of the Bible. Yeah, the truth is out there, but the irony is, it's collecting dust in virtually every home in America. And so that brings me to the question, why? Why is it that people refuse to pick up the Bible when they're in such a frantic search for truth because of world events? And it's actually collecting dust. It's right out there in the open. I think it's due to 2 things. One, it's due to a century or more of skepticism and false criticism towards the Bible. That it really did come from God. So, people don't pick it up because they think it didn't come from God, that it was just a book whooped up by man filled with contradictions and errors. And two, it's also because of the hypocritical behavior of the Christian community, who on the one hand says, oh yeah, the Bible really did come from God, and you need to read it to find the answers you're looking for, but the problem is we never pick it up either. And they see us. And apparently, we send a loud message to them, it's not that important. Is it really that bad? That Christians aren't picking up their Bible. Is it really that bad? How do I know? Because when it comes to our biblical knowledge, I think it's a little lacking. Don't believe me? Just ask these kids.
Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day, but a ball of fire by night.
The 5th commandment is to humor thy mother and father.
Moses died before he ever reached the UK. Then, Joshua led the Hebrews in the Battle of Gerizim.
The greatest miracle in the Bible is when Joshua told his son to stand still and he obeyed him.
David was a Hebrew king and fought with the Philistines.
Solomon, one of David's sons, had 300 wives and 700 porcupines.
When the three wise guys from the east side arrived, they found Jesus and the manger. Jesus was born because Mary had an immaculate conception.
Jesus enunciated the golden rule, which says to do one to others before they do one to you. He also explained, "Man doth not live by sweat alone."
One of the apostles was Saint Matthew, who was by profession a taxman.
A Christian should have only one wife. This is called monotony.
Now that's kind of funny, but how many of you would say those kids probably could use a little refresher course on their biblical knowledge there, you know what I'm saying? Slightly. But that's right, believe it or not, even we Christian adults don't fare much better. Don't believe me? Check out these stats on Christian adults and their knowledge of the Bible and you tell me how well we're doing.
80% of Christians say the Bible teaches that God helps those who help themselves. 12% say the name of Noah's wife was Joan of Arc. 49% say the Bible teaches that money is the root of all evil. 50% of Christians say there is no absolute truth. 55% of Christians say the Bible has errors in it. 47% don't have a commitment to the Christian faith as a top priority. 58% don't have being active in a local church as one of their top goals in life. 35% of Christians say that to get by in life these days, sometimes you have to bend the rules for your own benefit. 49% of pastors no longer have a biblical worldview. 93% of Christians no longer have a biblical worldview.
Those kids that thought that David was fighting with the Philistines in the Battle of Gerizim, and Solomon had a bunch of porcupines, they're going to become the next generation, which means that it's only going to get worse when it comes to knowledge and the understanding of the Bible. I wonder what kind of Christian adults they're going to be. And here's the point. I don't know about you, but I am completely aghast at those stats. I mean, think about it. Why didn't all those Christians have a 100% agreement on the accuracy of the Bible? I mean, of all people who should never doubt that the Bible really did come from God, it should be Christians, right? But that's not what we see. Even Christians are doubting that the Bible really did come from God. And that's why, to stave off this criticism and hypocrisy even in the church, we're going to jump right in and ask the question, did the Bible really come from God? And what we're going to do is take a look at the 10 lines of solid logical evidence that the Bible really did come from God. And when we're done, you're going to see that it had to come from God. There is no way in the world man, even on his best day, could ever whip up something like we see in the scripture. It's unlike any other book on the planet. The first line of evidence showing us that the Bible really did come from God is that the Bible says so. But don't take my word for it. Let's take a look at what God tells us about this book. Was it really whooped up by man, who wrote this thing? How did it come about? Paul is giving a final charge to Timothy. More than likely this book was written toward the end of Paul's life. He is laying it on the line to young Timothy. If Paul isn't going to be around, he is letting him know what the most important thing for him is to focus on, and that is what we read.
2 Timothy 3:10-17. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
So how do we know that the Bible really did come from God? Well, what did we just read? The first line of evidence is that the Bible says so. And believe it or not, this is a very important factor. You see, if anyone is in a genuine search to validate a document, they must first give that document the benefit of the doubt, right? Even Aristotle knew this when he said,
"The benefit of the doubt is to be given to the document itself, and not arrogated by the critic to himself."
This is the problem. This is what the skeptics do today. They do just the opposite. They assume the Bible is full of errors until it's proven absolutely genuine. They've got it totally backwards. Even in our courtrooms, we know that someone's innocent until proven guilty, right? Therefore, if you're honest in your approach towards the Bible and if it really came from God, shouldn't the same standard be applied to validating the Bible to see if it came from God? Of course. So, let's do that. Let's see what the Bible has to say about it being the Word of God.
The Lord hath spoken is found 30 times. It is written is found 80 times. The word of the Lord is found 258 times. Thus, saith the Lord is found 415 times. Saith the Lord is found 854 times.
And that's not all of them. That's just a sampling. But as you can see, hundreds and hundreds of times, the Bible simply and emphatically declares that it literally did come from God. So, here's the point. You have to give it the benefit of the doubt, like Aristotle said, that if it says it came from God, then maybe it really did come from God, right? And think about the hypocrisy here. Why is it that no honest scholar treats any other ancient document in the same hypocritical manner that the skeptics do with the Bible? Why do they assume it's wrong right off the bat? Why don't they give it the benefit of the doubt that since it claims to be from God that it might really be from God? Wouldn't that be the honest place to start? But usually the skeptics will object and say something like this, "Well, that's just circular reasoning. One book declaring itself to be from God, that's ludicrous. That's exactly what you'd expect by a book whooped up by man." That's precisely the point. The Bible is not just one book whooped up by man. It's a collection of 66 books written by many different men, in many different time periods, who didn't even know each other, proving that it had to come from God. Man couldn't make this thing up. Don't believe me? Check out these amazing facts on the Bible.
Written over a 1,500-year span. Written over 40 generations. Written by more than 40 authors, from every walk of life, including kings, peasants, philosophers, fishermen, poets, statesmen, scholars, etc. Written in different places, wilderness, dungeons, palaces, etc. Written at different times, times of war and times of peace, etc. Written during different moods, from heights of joy and from the depths of despair, etc. Written on three different continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. Written in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek.
And it never once contradicts itself, and it has the same message through and through.
What? Man, on his best day, could never whoop up something like that. It proves that it had to come from God. And yet, even with all these amazing characteristics showing that the Bible really did come from God, just like he says over and over again, people will still turn to other supposed sources of truth to find their answers. The first faulty source of truth that people turn to instead of the Bible is worldly false prophets. This is crazy. God wants us to know the truth, and that's why he gave us the Bible. And that's why he tells us in the Bible to not listen to these guys, they're going to lie to you.
Deuteronomy 18:9-12. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord.
Why? Because it's demonic and God doesn't want you to be lied to. He told us over and over again that the Bible came from him and we just need to stick to it, so we can know the truth. And yet people today still turn to these same lying demonic spirits to get their source of truth. Don't believe me? Let's take a look at some of the most popular ones out there today. The first one is Nostradamus. Michael Nostradamus was a 16th century French physician and astrologer. He wrote four-line verses called quatrains that many of his modern-day followers see as proof that he was a true prophet. Really? Let's put him to the test. Here's just one example of his extremely vague quatrains.
The year 1999, 7 months. From the sky will come the great king of terror. to resuscitate the great king of the Mongols. Before and after, Mars reigns by good luck. At 45 degrees the sky will burn. Fire to approach the great new city. In an instant a great scattered flame will leap up. When one will want to demand proof of the Normans.
Nostradamus's supporters have retrospectively claimed that he predicted major world events, including the Great Fire of London, the French Revolution, the rises of Napoleon Bonaparte and Adolf Hitler, the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and the September 11th attacks. Well, there you have it, believe it or not, according to the experts, Nostradamus just predicted 9/11. And even when you call them on that insane view, they will usually say something like, well, 1999 is not too far off from 2001. And the references to fire and terror from the sky sounds like an aerial attack. New York City is close to 45 degrees latitude, actually it's about 40, and then they of course don't mention who in the world was the great king of the Mongols and what does this have to do with the planet Mars and who on the 9/11 commission actually demanded proof from the Normans. And neither do they mention that the great new city spoken of by Nostradamus in original French was Villeneuve, which is the name of a town outside of Paris, which is near a 45 degrees latitude. And yet Nostradamus is more popular than ever. Immediately following the September 11th attacks, his books climbed to the top of Amazon.com sellers list, and it shot off bookstore shelves all around the country. And yet, it is well documented that Nostradamus received these supposed prophetic quatrains using a combination of astrology, divination, and guidance from an angelic spirit demon. He used various forms of meditation focusing on fire or water while being under the influence of mild hallucinogens, which is a common practice used by witches even today. It's called scrying. Scrying is a practice used by witches to concentrate on an object until visions appear. And believe it or not, Nostradamus not only knew he was messing with dangerous occult practices, but he even warned his own son not to follow his footsteps because he knew he was headed to hell.
He beseeched his infant son never to dabble in such practices for, he says, they desiccate, or dry up, the body, disturb the mind, and send the soul to perdition. For that reason, he burned to ashes the ancient books that he had learned these techniques from, and when he did, he said they burned with an unnatural brilliance.
And, I'm going to listen to him over the word of God in the Bible. Oh, but he's not the only false prophet people unfortunately buy into. As we all just recently found out, the Mayan prophecy of 2012 was not only not true, but it was nothing more than wild speculations over the Mayan calendar. The only thing that ended was the Mayan calendar system. In fact, even though people said the Mayans were predicting the end of the world, these same people couldn't even predict their own cultural extinction. And the reason why is because once again, just like with Nostradamus, they too used occult practices to get their information from. It is well documented that the Mayans got their supposed prophetic information from the occult. They too were also involved in astrology and used hallucinogenic drugs that supposedly helped them to speak to their dead ancestors, which is called necromancy. And their culture was extremely barbaric. They practiced human sacrifice, auto-sacrifice, and used the blood of humans to appease the gods because they believed the sun was powered by human blood. And I'm supposed to listen to them over what God says in the Bible? I don't know about you, but come on, I think I'll stick to the tried and true word of God in the Bible that was written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors over 40 generations that never once contradicts itself, has the same message through and through, and shows it had to come from God, over guys who practiced witchcraft, knew they were going to hell, did drugs and killed people including themselves just to keep the sun going. And yet, listen to this. 4% of Christians and 3% of non-Christians said they had consulted a medium or spiritual advisor within the past month. More Christians are seeking guidance from a demonic psychic than non-Christians do. And yet, not so surprisingly, just like with Nostradamus and the Mayans, they too are a faulty source of information. Amid hundreds of prophecies, biblical prophets are not known to have made a single error. However, a study of the prophecies made by psychics showed that of 72 predictions, only 6 were fulfilled in any way. However, 2 of these were vague and 2 others were hardly surprising, one of them being that the US and Russia would remain leading world powers. Another study of the top 25 psychics and 72 of their predictions revealed that 92% were totally wrong. And the remaining 8% could easily be explained by chance and general knowledge of circumstances. In fact, in 1993 the psychics missed every single unexpected news story like Michael Jordan's retirement and the flooding in the Midwest, and among some of their false prophecies that year were that Kathy Lee Gifford would replace Jay Leno as host of The Tonight Show and the Queen of England would become a nun. Okay, apparently, they forgot to tell her that. But here's the point. When in the world are we ever going to learn that those sources are not only not a good source of truth, but this is why God tells us over and over again in the Bible that it really did come from Him. Just stick to it. Why? Because He doesn't want us lied to. He wants us to know the truth. And He wants us to know that these worldly false prophets are leading people astray. The second faulty source of truth that people turn to instead of the Bible is what I call churchy false prophets, i.e. false prophets in the church. But shocker, again, God says don't listen to these guys either. You're going to be deceived. But again, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to His.
Deuteronomy 18:20-22. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message that the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him.
Why? Because he's a liar. What he said was from God was not from God because it's a lie. God doesn't lie. And so, here's the point. What are you supposed to do with that guy? According to the Old Testament, you were supposed to put that man to death. Or as other texts say, you are to stone them. But here's the point. Why do you put these guys to death? Because again, God's not a liar like us, He's holy and He wants us to know the truth. So, if somebody has the audacity to say they're speaking for God and yet it turns out to be a lie, they die. Why? How dare you impugn the holy character of God, right? And the good news is that today under the new covenant we don't put a false prophet to death, but we are called to put them out of the church. And yet, herein lies the problem. People today in the church refuse to do this, and so we're looking like a bunch of goobers. We're acting like God doesn't know what He's saying. And let me give you just a few examples of false prophets in the church. Even though the Bible clearly says referring to the second coming of Jesus.
Matthew 24:36. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father.
Harold Camping, he thinks he is smarter than God. He not only falsely predicted that the world would end on September 6, 1994, and that didn't happen, but again on May 21, 2011, and that didn't happen and then again on October 21, 2011 and he got that one wrong as well. Why? Because not even Harold Camping's mathematics can supersede God's word. Nobody knows the day nor the hour, including Mr. Camping, I don't care how nifty he was with a calculator. In fact, he even stated that no one was saved between 1988 through 1994, and the church age ended in 1994, and that the Holy Spirit is no longer working in the church. Sounds to me like the Holy Spirit was not working in Mr. Camping. Why? Because he's a false teacher making false predictions in the church. And because of this many people to lose not only millions and millions of dollars, but several people even lost their lives. Why? Because the church refused to do what God said to do with false prophets. He should have been kicked out of the church back in 1994 when he made his first false prediction. But that's not all. So is Benny Hinn. He's not only a false teacher ripping people off of their cash in the church in the last days, just like the Bible said would happen, but he himself has made several false predictions himself. Here's the actual transcription. Benny Hinn's false prophecies.
The Lord also tells me to tell you that in the mid-90s, about 94 or 95 no later than that, God will destroy the homosexual community from America. He will not destroy it with what many minds have thought it to be. It will start with fire. The Spirit tells me Fidel Castro will die in the 90s. Oh my, some will try to kill him, and they will not succeed, but there will come a change in his physical health and he will not stay in power and Cuba will be vigilant of God. You know a prophetess has sent me a word to my wife right here and she said, tell your husband that Jesus is going to physically appear in his meetings. He may very well come back with footage of Jesus on the platform. You know the Lord appeared in Romania recently. Now, hear this. I'm prophesying this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is about to appear physically in some churches and some meetings and to many of his people for one reason to tell you he's about to show up.
So, let me get this straight. Jesus is about to show up to tell you he's about to show up. That's pretty amazing. You said God told you to tell us that the homosexual community would be destroyed by fire in the mid-90s, and that didn't happen, and that Fidel Castro will die in the 90s, and that didn't happen, and that Jesus appeared physically at your meetings and other places around the world, which is a contradiction to Scripture because it says Jesus only has two comings, not three or four, and I'm supposed to listen to you over God's word in the Bible. According to God's word, what should happen to Mr. Hinn? He should be kicked out of the church. He's a liar and a false teacher and a false prophet. And he's leading people astray. Because we don't do that year after year, it defames the authority of the Scripture. But he's not the only one. Another false prophet is Pat Robertson. He not only ran for president of the United States in the 1980s, but he even falsely prophesied who was going to be the president of the United States. Did he get it right? I don't think so. Check it out for yourself. Benny Hinn and Pat Robertson, false election prophecy.
I want to ask Pat about the coming election. What's your opinion on Obama, Romney? What happens if Obama wins? What happens if Romney wins, and I'm talking about economy plus foreign policy?
Well, he's not gonna have a second term. He's gonna win. Romney's going to win.
You believe that?
I absolutely believe that.
What makes you believe that?
Because the Lord told me.
Well, I'm glad to know. I wasn't sure how you knew. Really, the Lord said that to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I told Mitt a long time ago. I called him. I said, listen, I'd been in prayer and number one, you're going to win the nomination, and number two, you're going to win the general election. And he says, well, what can I do for you? I said, give me a seat on the platform.
Real funny. And we wonder why the world laughs and mocks and scoffs at us? When we say that we know that this really came from God. And these guys, even in the church, year after year, and we let them remain. Letting them say God said this, God said that. I'm telling you, if we want to avoid this embarrassment and hypocrisy, then we need to do what God tells us to do. Kick these false prophets and teachers out of the church. Why? Because they're making God out to be a liar. If we would just stick to the word of God in the Bible that was written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors over 40 generations and never once contradicts itself, and stop trying to seek a so-called word from God outside the word of God, then I'd say we'd have a better witness and we'd be better off. And therefore, you can't have it both ways. You can't agree with some of the Bible's teaching and then turn around and deny its authenticity. Why? Because the Bible clearly presents itself as the genuine word of God. Anything short of this is intellectual hypocrisy. And so, it is with the skeptics of the Bible. They spout off bold claims that the Bible cannot be trusted, that the Bible is full of errors, yet all the time it is they who refuse to look at the evidence. So, I ask you, who's being the real hypocrite here? And this is why the last thing we'd ever want to do as a Christian, especially in these times when people are seeking the truth, is to treat the Bible like this guy.
Sunday 12:17 p.m. Man enters apartment after church services and places Bible on the table. Monday, Bible still there. Tuesday, still there. Wednesday, still there. Thursday, still there. Friday, still there. Saturday, still there. Sunday morning, man grabs Bible where he left it last Sunday, almost as an afterthought, to head off for church services.
I don't know about you, but that's got to be the ultimate hypocritical Christian's behavior. And it's ironic that it's occurring at a time when people are in a desperate search for truth, that here we are as Christians saying, oh yeah, the Bible really came from God, and you need to read it, it has all the answers you're looking for, and yet, it's sitting on our kitchen tables just like everybody else is collecting dust. We have got to wake up and realize the golden opportunity God is giving us. Our world is in a frantic search for purpose and direction in life. People are full of questions like, why do I exist? Where did I come from? Why is all this evil going on? Is there life after death? And how sad and ironic it is that this mysterious book that everyone's in search of can be found on bookshelves collecting dust in virtually every home in America, even in the church. But be encouraged today. Let's get back on track. Let's not just say the Bible came from God, let's show the world the Bible really did come from God. Be encouraged today. You don't have to give in to the attacks of the skeptic. You don't have to give in to doubt. And you don't have to give in to one bit of criticism. What we hold in our hands is the genuine Word of God. Let's get busy reading it, studying it, applying it, and sharing it.